Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you all are having a great Tuesday out there. We're going to have some fun. We got good things lined up for you this hour. A little bit later, we're going to get into things that people are believe that they need, but maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. We'll discuss. We'll get into that.
All right.
Got a bunch of entertainment news we want to get to. And, of course, we are the home of Central Wisconsin Information. Nobody covers this area like we do. And Dolly Parton News. These are some of the categories we cover better than most. And Dolly shows up in our opening entertainment segment. Dolly Parton's musical about her life. We've been covering this, talking about it a lot. They just made a huge announcement. They have finally found their Dollies.
Really?
The show is called Dolly, an original musical, and it'll make its world premiere on July 18th in Nashville before heading to Broadway to debut in New York City next year. This is the way most shows go. They do a bit of a tour beforehand. I saw years back the Addams Family with Nathan Lane, and before they went to Broadway, they actually toured in Chicago and the Midwest a little bit. So this is kind of a way of getting not only raising awareness about the show and maybe getting people to travel to New York and see it on the Broadway stage, but also seeing working out the kinks. I bring this up because I think it's kind of cool that we still do this. This is an old school vaudevillian kind of thing and theater thing. The fact that we still do it this way, I think, is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
So this musical has got some really nice names attached to it. After a crazy audition process, they have finally settled on who will be playing Dolly herself. And it's not just one, but it's three actresses.
Oh, wow.
The three women will be taking on Dolly at different times in her life. Their names are Katie Rose Clark, Carrie St. Louis, and Quinn Titcomb. Katie and Carrie are both Broadway regulars, appearing in a lot of big musicals. And Quinn is from South Florida and has done some regional productions, but a bit of an underknown star. And this is exactly what Dolly Parton was talking about. She wanted early on just in three different people, but she wanted somebody who had some experience and could really hit those notes. But she was really hoping to find somebody who was kind of, a diamond in the rough, somebody who isn't discovered.
Undiscovered.
So she got a little bit of both here.
That's wonderful.
With all three of these wonderful actresses. Katie and Carrie are both, done some really great work. If you watched the Tony Awards or anything, you might have seen them before. And I got to say, I did this really late, but I tried to send Melissa just a little bit of what these actresses look like. And nobody is going to look like Dolly. But I think these three hit the mark pretty good, especially once you put the makeup and wigs on them and everything. Now, most importantly, they got to be able to hit those notes, but I have no doubt that they can. The show has received so much interest that it has already added two more weeks to the end of its run on Belmont University's Fisher Center. Now, we've got more stories that don't work out than do of actor or musicians making Broadway shows. Bruce Springsteen, famously, his didn't work out. Billy Joel and Elton John tried to write one. I mean, there's a lot of stories of these things not working out and not doing well. And at the same time, not only with the rise of I'm not talking about in the movies, I'm talking about on the Broadway stage of Wicked and Hamilton and shows like that. But what about Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson had a Broadway special that sold out every night. nobody knows exactly what to do or what the perfect thing that's going to bring people to the theater is going to be. But I got to say that if you're just throwing Dolly out there, that's a great start. That's a great the writing's got to be there, and then the songs have got to be there. But you've already got the songs.
And we all know and love them. This is going to bring people out. They're going to be packed everywhere they go.
And one of the really interesting things with this was where, like, this happened with with Janis Joplin, where there were two Janis Joplin biopics that were at the same time simultaneously being filmed, and neither one of them came to be because they couldn't get the rights to the music. Not a problem with Dolly Parton.
Well, because she was so involved with it.
Yeah, and wrote all of her own music. She already has the copyrights of these songs.
Right.
So
she owns them.
Yeah, that's this. I usually come into these things with a grain of salt and like, well, they're going to try and all that. This one, I can't help myself. The expectations are rising for this one.
Yeah,
it's also a
note to artists out there. And we've seen this happen multiple times. Look what, who was it that had to re-record all her own music?
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Okay, well, and Britney Spears had to fight for the rights for hers.
Yeah.
But yeah, Taylor Swift. Own your own music. Don't let a record company own you. It might be harder to get out there and do the work, but then you can do things like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's good. It should be good. I can't imagine.
I can't wait.
And Dolly Parton's going to go down as a Tony winner. You watch. Mm. She's going to add that to her list, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of great lead singing divas and great singers, we go from one to the other with Lady Gaga, who played recently played for 2.5 million people during a free concert at Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro.
I saw the pictures of that crowd. That was insane.
That broke the record for the highest attended concert by a female artist in history.
Yeah.
Madonna did have the record. Madonna played for 1.6 million people on the same beach almost exactly 1 year ago.
But to beat it by twice the number?
That's
almost
wow.
twice.
Wow,
yeah.
That's impressive.
It is.
That's beating the Material Girl too. That's saying something. In a message posted yesterday, Gaga said, quote, "Thank you, Rio, for waiting for me to come back. Thank you, little monsters all over the world." For those who don't know, that's what her fan base is called. "I love you. I will never forget this moment. Pause up, little monsters. Obligare, love, mother monster." Obligare is Portuguese for thank you.
That's awesome.
The show went off without a hitch, despite an attempted attack by a group there that didn't do any good. Thankfully, Brazilian. So there was an anti-LGBTQ group that tried to recruit teenagers and bomb the show and all this. I didn't want to give them too much attention, but it is noteworthy.
Glad it was thwarted.
Yeah, Brazilian police raided the homes of 15 suspects in several states across the nation. Two people were arrested, including the group's leader.
Good.
Good to see their government doing something about that. That's great. That's great. That's great to see. Gaga's reps said that they only heard about the plot after the show and were, quote, no known safety concerns or anything. Everybody was okay. But noteworthy a part of it. An unfortunate part of it. Because that's a lot of people getting together to just sing and dance.
And enjoy music.
Mm-hmm. That's a big story though. That's impressive. Anytime you beat Madonna in a record or in a category, that's beyond impressive.
And to have that many people gather together and have nothing go wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It's encouraging. And to another diva in Lorde. I wanted to get to this story here. Lorde, and I don't know if she's really I don't know hits. I'm not popular. I'm not hip. I know that Lorde had a hit a while back and she's, still making music and everything. I just don't know how big her name is anymore, but I know that she was a pretty big name and still doing some really good work. And even someone who seems to have it all together like Lorde, she seems like she has a very good self-esteem and all this, still has her issues with her body. In fact, she's been through a lot in the past 4 years. As I mentioned, her popularity in part because of this story and why you might not have heard it from her as much. She says, quote, "I had made my body very small because I thought that's what you did as a woman and a woman on display. I thought I'm small. This will communicate to people that I'm taking my position seriously." That left her feeling ungrounded and weak. Luckily, she was able to bounce back. Quote, "I eat as much as I want now, and I don't care."
Good.
Lorde even refused to release her upcoming album, Virgin, until she got everything squared away. Quote, "This album is a byproduct of that process of fully coming into my body and feeling the fullness of my power."
Good.
Quote, "It's cool to be back in this place of, like, the portal opening and the weight. And just feeling the release of this concern and this worry that dogged her so much." I've mentioned before, I grew up with a hippie feminist mother and learned about women's rights before my own and feel pretty connected on this front. and will be the first person to admit, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I have no idea, you know, what it's like to deal with any of these factors or any of these issues. I may have empathy and I may have some parallels here or there that are somewhat similar, but they're not even close. And I bring this up because with this topic in particular, would have never thought of it. Would have never thought about something like this. Now, certainly women in image and women in their bodies, I think about those things. But the idea of this idea that this is what I'm supposed to look like. This is what I'm supposed to be as far as like being like, she's not just talking about her waistline. She's talking about physically being smaller, like trying to like, she's a certain height and shrinking down. Like that's. I've heard of weight loss and weight gain and some of these things. The idea that you have to like literally try to shrink your height, that I hadn't even heard of. And I've been hearing about this stuff literally my whole life. Hmm. That was noteworthy to me to talk about, but also appreciate her talking about and feel
because
for her.
As women in society, we are made to feel small and to be able to attain that, you know, societal pressure. We try to make ourselves small. In not, like you said, not only in weight, but also in height. Most of my life, I wanted to be small. Like, as I grew, every inch I grew, I hated it. Because I needed to be small. I needed to be not seen. And so it's a transition to try to own your space. Yeah. To be there. To take up space. It's not an easy thing for a lot of women.
When I think about it now, I have heard a version of this my whole life from my mom, who is much taller than your average woman and has always been. And for when she would talk about like how this helped her out in volleyball, that was one thing. But she was turned down for like dances and stuff because guys didn't want to dance with her. And I know that it was a big deal that my dad and her, and they got together when they were very young. So she didn't have a ton of this, but she had plenty of times where guys wouldn't even talk to her because of her height, because she was so tall and everything. So
deal with the same thing who are on the shorter side, you know. Yes. So it does happen for all genders. I mean, we all have our own struggles, and that should give us more empathy for each other versus dividing us.
Absolutely. I think one of the strong points of this conversation is
we all have our own things, but let's have grace, give grace to each other and just be caring. Why not?
Yeah, you know, well, one of the things I've talked about in auditions and everything is how I've lost out on roles because I'm not tall enough, or I'm not short,
or you're
enough,
too tall.
Or I'm too, yes, all of the factors. but this is one of the reasons why there are so many great, you know, there's so many roles out there, and there's a role for everybody. And Melissa found that out with the recent play of Noises Off.
Yes. Oh, I have the perfect cast. I am so thrilled and proud of my cast and crew. They're doing such a fantastic job, and they have so much fun every night. I'm blown away by all of the things that they've added. Just the cohesion and the coming together of this group has been beautiful to watch, beautiful to see, and hilarious. Absolutely fantastically hilarious.
We want to use this segment, of course, to promote the show and fill that theater and make sure that they got a great crowd. And I have no doubt that they will for the final three performances of Noises Off. But I also like to use this segment to encourage people to be a part of their community theater and give them a little look behind the curtain. And Melissa, I think this is a week we never really talk about in theater where, you know, the first week of opening night, you're still got rehearsals going on. You have your, certain thing, mainstays for almost every show as far as,
the little last minute things you got to throw together,
your tech day and that kind of stuff. But this week is a little bit of a gray area for a lot of performances. A lot of directors handle them differently. You don't have a show. The team doesn't come back to the stage until Thursday, and with those final three performances, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So how do you like to handle this week as a director? How are you handling it as a director?
We're having a fun time on our chat.
Right on.
Group
right
chat.
On. Right on.
We're just communicating with each other about stuff. Like right now, we have a conversation going on about start time on Wednesday.
Right on.
Because I can't remember what I said.
So great.
And so we're just kind of like going back and forth. And yeah, no. So they had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we'll come back on Wednesday. We will do, we have to do, because of this show, the way a farce is, they're so, it's prop heavy, it's set dependent. We need to have a full run through. We're probably not going to do all costumes, but we will basically do a full show on Wednesday night, because the actors need to know where their props go, where they land. The crew needs to get back into the flow of moving the stage and collecting the props and putting them back and setting them, so that we are ready to do the, you know, the quality and the caliber of show on Thursday night that the audience got to see all weekend, last weekend. So yeah, we're back to work on Wednesday night. It's not going to be, sometimes with, you know, shows, you can have a funny read through or a speed read through line run on the day before show. We can't do that. We have to do the full show.
Yeah. Yeah.
we need our tech crew. We need lights. We need sounds. We need all of it, because this is such an intense show.
But this is the kind of stuff you can expect when you're a part of the theater and joining these plays in your local community theater. It's a fun environment. And yeah, there's work to be done, but everybody has a great time doing it.
We do, and everything has been just such a joy with this cast, honestly. Everybody's so dedicated. We build each other up. You know, there's been no drama that's not happening on the stage.
Right.
And no, you know, like, egos. Like, everybody is just building each other up and trying to produce the best possible show for our audiences, and that brings me so much joy. It really, really does.
You got three more chances to check out this memorable performance, this wonderful production. This Thursday and Friday, 7 o'clock shows. Everything wraps up with the 2 o'clock matinee this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Check it out, get your tickets, and find out more at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. Big shout out to all the kids in their auditions over the last couple of days. Break a leg,
kids. There's going to be some wonderful shows this summer with our kids' theater. Three different shows.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about those as we get closer and closer to them, everybody.
And can I just throw out one more thing? If you're buying tickets for Noises Off, the further back you can sit in the audience is the best seats, because you want to be able to see as much as possible of that stage, because there's so much happening at once.
Very good to know. Very good to know. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun coming up on Mornings at WFHR. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate the company. Interesting one here, Melissa. A website set out to make a list of American cities with the most affordable rent. And surprisingly, it wasn't just, some small town or anything. To do it, they analyzed the median annual gross rent in more than 180 cities. And then they compared it to the median household income.
Okay.
The 10 cities where rent is most affordable are Bismarck, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Fargo, North Dakota, and Charleston, Virginia.
Whoa.
Casper, Wyoming, Overland Park, Kansas, Juneau, Alaska, and Anchorage, Alaska, the first major city on the list, names on the top, outside of the top 10. And the most major city on the list was at number 26, Seattle.
Huh.
And on the flip side, the cities where the rent is the least affordable is Miami, Newark, New Jersey, New Haven, Connecticut, Detroit, and Glendale, California.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. You mean all of those places at the beginning of the list, they're pretty barren locations.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not very populated states and areas.
Looking locally, let's see here. Chicago ranks 66th, Milwaukee ranks 105th, and Madison ranks 51st. So definitely not great, not horrible, or not great or good, you know, kind of somewhere in the middle, sort of. Actually, you know, now that I'm looking at it, not a little bit outside the middle, yeah, not bad. Madison is right behind St. Louis and Bakersfield, California. These areas where it is cheapest to rent, pretty isolated. Not a lot of major cities, not a lot of people moving to these areas. So, you know, certainly that plays into it, but also plays into the idea of how are people supposed to live? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't get past this. I don't mean to take it this route, but there's a reason people are doing these kind of lists. And, mm-hmm. and the price of rent and how that is exceeding the affordability of the paycheck.
Right. And the thing is, like, you know, there was a while there where it was cheaper to pay a mortgage than to pay rent. And that may still be true, but people can't get approved for loans because of, you know, credit history or other things. So they can't buy their own home and build equity because they're stuck renting, but they have to pay more money mm-hmm. renting than they would to own their own home. It's yeah. it's ridiculous.
It's it the system is all junked up.
Broken.
Yeah, it's broken. Just broken. Yeah.
It's broken for all of us regular people.
And now I will say on the other side of this, some of these cities I've always wanted to visit. I don't know. Wyoming seems like a beautiful state. I just always wanted to check it out. I haven't been to Iowa. I think that'd be the Dakotas, from what Seth has told us, seems all right. You know, mm-hmm.
so yep, yep. I've driven through most of them.
There seems to be some not positives, but I mean, there seems to be some. I wonder if. You know, there's another part of this, too. One of my favorite stories, favorite American history stories, is the invention that changed politics more than anything else. And this doesn't come from me. It comes from a great book I read a long time ago, How the States Got Their Shape. And the one invention that changed politics maybe more than anything else, the air conditioner. Before the invention of the air conditioner, you look around and you look at the states with the highest populations, and they were mostly eastern states, and therefore they had more delegates in Congress and all of this. Mm-hmm. Then the invention of the air conditioner, and literally look at the change in the diagram of states that, you know, all of a sudden California, Texas, all your southern states increase in a population almost twofold, and therefore they get more delegates, get more power in Congress, and et cetera, et cetera. The air conditioner did all of this. It changed this. It literally changed American politics more than probably anything else, even more than in the, you know, the Chad machines or anything like that, voting machines even. The air conditioner did this. What if we're seeing something else happening here? Like this, where we see such a migration of people, because people are going to survive. People are no different than nature. They're going to find a way. If we see a huge increase in these cities, where all of a sudden Bismarck, North Dakota is a popular city and a bigger city similar to other big cities. I'm not saying it's going to reach New York or Chicago levels or something, but it doesn't have to change the game, to change the direction of politics. Yeah. It's not sci-fi, everybody. We've got data to show you that this kind of stuff has happened before. it's just a wild thought to have. I'm not saying one way or the other. I think the end all of this is certainly people aren't making enough money to afford living. You got two family households where both people are working 40 a week hour jobs that aren't able to do this. That to me is the headline here. But one of the side stories, if you will, I think, is just what this could lead to if things keep up this way.
Yeah.
No. It's a wild thing. We'll see. Yeah. We will see. We will get to time out here. We got some news, sports, and our partners to take care of. When Melissa and I get back, what are some things that they kind of make us feel like we need, but we don't really need? We'll get into
marketing.
That. Yes, we'll get into it when we get back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there.
That sure is bright and beautiful.
Yeah. Loving this sun today. Loving it. I saw the eagle earlier. It's been great. Ooh. It's been really good. It's been really good. So when it comes to, you know, this time of year, most people are have determined, you know, the feeling or the routine of spring cleaning. But they're approaching this with that, but also the traditional way, but also a little bit of a different add-on to that, if you will. Why do I even have this? Not just asking, you know, or if I need to keep this or not, but why did I ever buy this in the first place? And I think that's kind of a cool evolution of this. I don't know if I think this has probably always been the case. It's something that maybe you have a thought in the back of your head or whatever. But I don't know that anybody's really been viral with this. We're like, hey, why are we doing this? So people on social media are talking about things that we are kind of brainwashed into believing we need. I don't like using terms like for when they're not apt. I don't know if we're necessarily literally being brainwashed. So I don't like saying that. But
no, it's more like you're just kind of duped.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't have to be so extreme. I think we need to use these words.
You need to have this avocado slicer because it's an all-in-one tool, and you don't have to dirty a knife and a spoon.
Perfect example. These are not in any particular order, but that is a great example of this. Another one, an endless stream of clothes and accessories to follow every trend.
Yeah,
that's probably one of the more famous ones, I would think.
Yeah, well, and when you hear about the amount of clothing in landfills,
yeah,
it really that fast fashion industry is destroying our planet. But yes,
a sentence that doesn't get said enough. A credit to the youngest generation; they are really making thrift stores and Goodwill stores and everything
reusing, reduce, reuse.
From what I understand from a lot of my students and even just other people, they'll buy like a sweater and then they'll put like a stitch something on it to make it their own.
Yeah, or buy a sweater and change it into a purse. I mean, there's so much that you can do with reusing something and turning it into something else that makes it unique and nobody else has it.
Yeah.
Which is something completely opposite than going to these fast fashion stores. And let me tell you, we're going to have to be doing more of that here pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, and to me, that's what fashion has always been about, making something your own, making a shirt that anybody can buy and plenty of people are wearing, making it your own, you know?
It's... Right. When a kid walks into school and six other kids are wearing the shirt that they have on, it's like, oh, man, I thought my shirt was cool.
Well, that little
patch.
Now
everybody's wearing it.
Something that makes it a little different.
Yeah.
Next on the list, expensive weddings, also expensive funerals, and pricey coffins.
We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we covered that one. I mean, like, but yeah, to each their own, and it's your day. Make it what you want.
Right.
But I do think that there's a balance there with that. And I think, again, the younger generation is seeing that maybe not because they want to, but because they have to.
Yes, that is a very good note, James. But then also, the fact that these industries have turned into such money makers for the industry themselves and suck the money from the people. And that's true for both weddings and funerals.
I'm sure that they have their place, but what a racket.
Yeah,
it is a hustle.
It is. When you die, it costs a minimum of $10,000 to bury you. Come on.
Man, of all the hustles in human history.
Human composting.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to start a new company.
Another one on the list of things that we are kind of talked into believing that we need. Social media. Now, this is one of those ones that I think that all of us here are kind of a good example of this. Maybe nobody better than Seth, but you and I tend to use social media more to, promote our station, promote the work that we do, along with, running into friends and some of that. But it's probably, I'm sorry if I'm speaking for you, Melissa, but
you're accurate so far.
I'll tell you
if you're not.
It's kind of what we use it for. And very limitedly, I joke about this all the time. I treat social media like Walmart, especially Facebook. I'm in and out as fast as I can. I keep my head down and I'm in and out as fast as I can.
Stick to your list.
Now, one of the things that I feel bad for about this, and this has come up recently, is missing out on key information from the people that I care about.
And that has to do with the algorithms.
Yeah. Yeah, it also has, I'm not on there a lot, so I miss these updates, if you will. I would like to think that these individuals would reach out, just to the person, but that's just not the way a lot of people operate nowadays.
And sometimes we get lazy because we're like, I put it on Facebook. If you missed it, that's on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it's not fair. And I'm pointing the finger at myself here because I'm totally guilty of that with this play that I'm doing. I've put it on my Facebook page. It's all over the Wisconsin Rapids Facebook page. I'm not making an additional concentrated effort to reach out to everybody I know and make sure they know about it. But part of that, too, is not everybody has time or money to go to a play. So I don't want to make them feel bad for not going to it.
That's the thing. For me, any individual we're talking about, whether it's a relative or just a friend of mine that I've known for decades or whatever, if they're not reaching out to me, I immediately think, they don't want to talk to me. So why would I reach out to them? I don't want to be somewhere I'm not wanted. I don't want to, so for me, I just tend to not even look at this stuff or think about it much. And then I end up missing something really big in somebody's life. I feel like I appreciate what you're sharing there. I feel like we could all do better on both sides of this. We could all reach out more.
Somebody else comes back and says, I didn't even know that was happening. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I put it on Facebook.
We got to give each other some grace with this one because we're all navigating this. We're all figuring it out in real time.
We're all still learning. And then we also need to put the thumb screws to Meta to say, stop meddling with the algorithms.
Yeah.
Make it. Stop it. Just stop it.
Get some real people working these machines. And so they're not making these mistakes.
And let me see my friend's Facebook feed. Let it, you know, like when they post, it should just come to my news feed. Why don't I see it?
And just to piggyback on that, stop messing with nonprofits and mom and pop businesses. I can't tell you how many of them I've heard have had their accounts shut down because of concerns and all this. Like, have some real people working these machines so that they're not making mistakes that an algorithm would make or a computer would make.
I mean, we could extend that, you know, to don't arrest people that don't have criminal records and disappear them to other countries. But, you know, I digress.
A 12-step skincare routine is the other thing mentioned on this list of things we are talked into believing we need.
I just need a skincare routine, period.
I mean, that one I can't really say much about because I wash my face
with water. That's my skincare routine.
At this point in the game, I may need a 12-step program. I know my skin could be better.
I try to remember to put on sunscreen before I go outside. That's where it ends.
That one and the next one is super white teeth to the point where it looks unnatural. Both of these are ones that, again, I think we're navigating. I don't agree with them. I don't think that outside of people that, like plastic surgery, the whole reason it was invented was to help people with either disformations that they want to work or, you know, horrible accidents
or after surgery situations.
Yes.
I mean, there are reasons for it.
Yeah.
But there's reasons for wanting to whiten your teeth. You can if you want to.
Yeah, but there are extremes of these things too, the ultra white teeth that blind you when you're blinding people when you're smiling.
It's like, or wow, that's impressive. Looks fake.
Or what is the point of butt implants? Like, I mean, I get the point.
Hey,
trust me, I get the point. But did we ever really, like, was there a time in history where, oh my God, this person is born incaved? Like, we need these. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, some of this stuff I'm not sure we really need.
But again, it's a, you know, if it makes you feel better about yourself and your body, it's your choice.
Yeah.
That's my position on it, and I'm not going to judge people who choose to do those things. However, I will say about the tooth whitening thing, I tried it once, and granted, it's been a lot of years ago now, and my dentist has said, you know, you should just do the over-the-counter stuff because of the way that the whitening works on fillings versus your natural tooth. It's not going to change the filling color.
Yeah.
But when I did it before, like, my teeth got super sensitive.
That's
like,
the thing.
It hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that has prevented me from doing it since then.
I don't blame
you. Has it stopped me from drinking coffee and red wine? No. No, it has not.
You're only...
So, I have naturally colored teeth.
A couple interesting ones here on the list. A car... which is, you know, depending on your, that's a case-by-case thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can see plenty of, especially, you know, living in a city or something like that.
Right. If you have access to public transportation, maybe you don't need one.
Yeah.
But for those of us living, you know, an hour or 2 hours from everything, you need one.
And what about fabric softener? Honestly, hadn't thought much about that one.
Vinegar works really great as a fabric softener.
I can only imagine how many at-home hacks there are nowadays to counter that.
For cleaning supplies and, yeah. Mm.
I got to look into that one. Huh. I hadn't thought about that.
Vinegar and baking soda are really kind of all you need for cleaning supplies.
We might talk more off air about that, Melissa. I might pick your brain about that one.
There's more options. Like I have more than those two things in my home. Obviously, I have a toilet cleaner. I have bleach. I have, you know, some sprays. But I do use vinegar a lot.
Interesting. This one, I think, like a lot of people, we saw coming a long way. You don't need the newest phone every year, no matter the price. This was probably the most common answer, really. Some people do it to have the latest tech or to have what the Joneses have. You know, you always want what other people do. But they really, you talk about filling up landfills and some of these things. What do you do with your old phone? What do you do with your old phone, everybody?
Like,
you
know, I have all of my old phones in a box.
Just sitting in a box, just sitting there. I mean, there's no real need for this. Does it still text and make calls? Can you still get on the internet? God, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I mean,
and do you know how many old phones I have in that box, James?
Oh, God.
Like three.
I was going to say at least two to three. Yeah.
Because I do not get a new phone until I absolutely have to, because I hate learning a new phone. I hate it. It's on my hate list, and that list is not very long. Samir, that is one of those that I do not like at all.
Yeah, for what I just paid for this most recent phone, the iPhone can you can come for me. You know, you want me to buy a new phone, you got to come to me. I paid way too much for this phone. I'm going to use this phone until it literally is broken. It cannot do anything. I'm getting every penny out of this phone. I don't care about no updates or anything like that. And all these updates, they're like a little tinkering of, instead of the camera being 4K, it's 5K, or, you know, some of this stuff.
And is it really an improvement, or is it just an excuse to get a new phone? My screen is broken on my phone, and I'm still not buying a new one.
See,
it still works. It still takes a charge. It stores my stuff. That's all I need.
I'm with you. 100% with you.
And this is the first screen I've ever broken, by the way. I just have to put that out there.
A gender reveal.
The only one that I really still like is the cakes.
Yeah, see, that's
when
funny.
They
that's
pop
what I
a balloon
of.
Indoors, and the confetti comes out. Like, I think there's a place for them. Sure, they're cute. They're sweet. If people want to do it, absolutely. But don't hurt the environment.
It seemed like it was such a brief amount of time. This was actually kind of a cool thing, I thought. Like, it was kind of a fun thing to do. And the way, like, going back to bringing in more people and family and fellowship, here was something instead of just...
And another excuse to get together and have a party, and it's better than a baby shower.
With my ex-wife and I, we decided with our firstborn, my son, that we weren't going to find out. But then by the time Izzy was coming around, like, yeah, let us know. We were like,
we need to know what we need.
We need all the heads up we can get. And they gave us a little vanilla envelope, and it was in there, and we just were able to open it whenever we wanted to, and it was nice, and it was a nice moment for the two of us and everything. But I imagine, and not speaking for her, I imagine that it would have been great to have more family around and share that with them. I think when it's done right, it can be a lot of fun.
My favorite one was the, and I'm not into like WWE wrestling or anything like that, but my favorite one that I saw was a video of these two fighting. Like, I think it was two guys, and one of them was dressed in pink and one was in blue, and the one that won the fight was the gender.
Oh, God, that's great. Oh, I love that.
It is great.
Recently, Bryce Harper, Philadelphia Phillies, a great player, all-star player, he found out, so a buddy of his on the team was told who, if it was a boy or a girl, and then they handed him a blue or pink colored bat. And that's how he found out, and thus we all found out, kind of thing and stuff. And that was kind of neat.
Cute.
That was kind of fun.
See, the creative ones like that that aren't, I don't know, starting wildfires or putting tons of balloons out into the oceans or hurting, you know, wildlife, just stop those ones. Do the creative, not damaging ones.
Well, I think
and have fun with it.
This is a great early step for parents to remember that it's about the kid and not you. Somebody has died from a gender reveal. Like, imagine what
acres
that kid's
of wildfire happened because of a gender reveal.
Imagine that child growing up and knowing that.
Like, learning about it.
Yeah, good luck. There's a good luck with the therapy on that one, because that's going to be a lot, man. That's a lot to put on a kid. You weren't creative enough to come up with just a fun, safe way to do it. Like, that's it should be about the kid, not you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one other one I wanted to get to on this list here, a replacement. Just a replacement, period. Like, we replace so much stuff in life where we could just fix it or put a little, you know, this to it or you know, just add, like, literally almost anything and we're talking about right now. You don't need a new one of. The old one is just
almost.
Fine.
Almost. Well, I mean, if it's not
almost.
Broken.
Oh, yes,
there
almost.
Because the sad thing is that things in are not, they're actually manufactured now to break. So you have to buy a replacement. You can't just fix it. And that's on the corporations and companies that are doing that on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it makes me so angry. But if you can get it fixed, if you can, you know, repair it and keep it going, do it. Sometimes I buy old stuff just because I know it's fixable.
Yes, yes. That's something my father and I, we've done for a long time. Yeah, that's a good note.
It makes me so frustrated and angry. I will refrain from saying the frustrated and angry things that are running through my brain. Right now.
And we talk a lot about how cool repurposing things is and the creativity people can put to stuff and everything. You, almost anything we've talked about today, especially when we're like we were talking about with clothes and everything, you can make your own. And I think most people like to be able to do that. So that's fun.
And I even, you know, women, as we grow into our bodies, and we shun the societal pressures of you have to be tiny, you have to be skinny. We can repurpose those. Oh, okay, though those pants don't fit you anymore. Turn it into a shirt. Turn it into a shrug. I mean, there are so many ways that you can do those things and still enjoy those clothes that don't fit you. Or you can hand them to someone else. Give them away or take them to a Goodwill or something. Don't just throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Good to have you back, Melissa. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show for today. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning's here at 97.5 FM, WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Too much for the man. Thanks so much for hanging out, everybody. I want to get into some good stuff going on in our area and some good stories of the day. And talking about our area, some really cool things happening. A couple of wanted to mention, our great friends over at Family Natural Foods have their free wellness presentations going on, and they got a great one tonight.
Ooh, good.
Join them over at 910 West Grand Avenue at 515 tonight for their spring cleaning and low waste. Come with questions and learn about Rubina process. Learn how to buying bulk cleaning products can clean better, more naturally, cheaper, and with less waste. These are great presentations and really good opportunity to be just face-to-face, you know, no middleman, nothing in between you and just being able to talk and find out more about this stuff.
No, that's awesome.
Be sure to check that out. That free wellness presentation is going on tonight at 5:15 over at 910 West Grand Avenue, right at Family Natural Foods. And keep a lookout for more presentations from them. I encourage you to watch their social media, everybody. Not only do they got some great stuff that they do over there, it's really fun, but it's a great way to keep up to date and all the cool things they're doing. Yeah. Our great friends over at the Port Edward School District got some spring concerts coming up.
Ooh.
They're going on at the Dorothy Alexander Gymnasium of the Port Edwards Middle and High School, and they got one of them happening tonight.
Hey.
6:30 tonight, their spring choir concert.
Nice. Get out there and support our kids.
There are no bad kid shows. No, none of them. There are never a bad one. Never has been, never will be a bad kid show. Check this out. Support the arts, support these kids, and have a good time. 6:30 tonight at the Dorothy Alexander Gymnasium at Port Edwards Middle and High School, their spring concert.
Nice.
Remind everybody that we have the Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue pet drive going on here and at 105.5.
Mm-hmm. You can drop off any of those donations to help out these pets.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys who have already donated and dropped off items. Thank you so much for doing that. If you don't want to stop by the studios here, you can also drop them off at From the Ground Up Coffee Shop at 250 West Grand Avenue or at the Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue.
When you go there for the presentation tonight, bring along a bag of dog food.
Yeah, yeah. We greatly appreciate it, and our furry friends really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Melissa, you sent this over, and I wanted to touch on this free home buyer seminar coming up over at McMillan Library.
Yeah, I don't have it up in front of me, so I'm going to let you take the lead on it. But this is a great opportunity to find out information if you want to purchase a home in the future.
Boy, as a side note, that'd have been really mean on me. So, Melissa.
I know I said it, James, but it's been a hot minute.
Wouldn't that be such a meme? This is a really cool presentation going on. You're going to have Brian, who's a realtor, Amber, who's a loan officer, and Trina, who's a title guru there to talk about all of this. I love the title, title guru.
I know. We were giggling about it.
This will go from 6:30 to 7:30, and it'll be happening this Thursday over at McMillan Library's All-Purpose Center, everybody. This is in part with Members Advantage Credit Union and Next Home Partners, and a big shout out to everybody involved with this one.
And it's a free opportunity for you to hear the presentation and ask questions.
How cool is that? Opening up their doors to everybody and sharing information that a lot of times you kind of got to make a meeting for or something like that at the very least.
Or seek it out. And I mean, and this is just you go and find out the information you need.
And you can make an argument that it's never been more vital to be able to have these kind of things. Join them for raffle prizes, and as they talk through the process and give helpful tips and tricks to navigate this insane housing market. The Free Home Buyer Seminar happening this Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 over at McMillan Library. You can register if you'd like at this at Amberg at membersofadvantageecu.com. You can find more information.
Amber G,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Amber G at membersadvantageecu.com. You can find that on McMillan Library's website if you'd like, everybody.
Yeah.
And just between you and I, everybody, okay? Melissa, you and I, all right?
All right.
We got something really cool coming up Friday, and every Friday. Yeah, right here at Civic Media and all of our Civic Media brothers and sister stations.
Oh, I think I saw something about this.
Listen to your favorite Civic Media shows on Fridays throughout the baseball season for a chance to win Milwaukee Brewer tickets.
Whoa!
Starting this Friday, tune in and listen for keywords throughout the listening day and text in the keyword to enter in for a chance to win a 4-pack of Brewer tickets.
Woohoo, that sounds like fun.
Keep Civic Media on throughout the day on Fridays, beginning with mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and of course our local morning shows like this one right here. We'll give you those keywords to text to us through the Civic Media app.
Hey, chances to win. I love it.
And you'll have 5 chances to enter by listening to our station's morning shows, or Matinee on Air, or the Tom Hartman program, or Todd Alber, or of course the Maggie Dawn show.
Mm-hmm.
All these great opportunities to win some Brewer tickets.
Great.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Be listening for that starting this Friday, everybody. But again, you know, that's pretty cool. We want you to spread the word about that, actually. Don't keep it between us. Please spread the word about that.
Spread the word. Have the app. It's free. Download it so you can easily text those keywords in when you hear them and have more chances to win.
A farmer from Minnesota named David D. Cook found a 3.18-carat diamond at Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas late last month. One report said that it could be worth up to $19,000.
Whoa.
He said it looked like a candy wrapper. Was he at all disappointed that it wasn't candy? Was he at all? Even a little bit.
Maybe for a moment.
Just for a half a second.
Until he figured out what it was.
Like, oh my God, I could buy tons of candy. I could buy a bunch of Dum Dum stickers with this, suckers
no
with
kidding,
this.
Like, no kidding, no kidding. Triple that order.
Great show, Melissa.
You too, James.
Have a good day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.